Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T, and pretty soon Papa will be on because he's going to be retiring next month. Praise the Lord. But we want to welcome you. Thank you for tuning in and listening in. Hey, I'm starting a brand new series on the parables and the stories that Jesus told in the gospel. Hallelujah. I love those stories, and I actually did a series on the parables of Jesus about maybe 5 months ago, but I've got more insight, and so this is kind of like parable series number two, more insight, and I'm excited because the Lord has opened up my eyes to see. And you know what, you can listen to those by just going to our website, www.lovebyexample.com. We're going to have a brand new makeover coming up pretty soon because so many things are happening. We're meeting here twice a week in our home, women, and we're chewing on the Word of God, the seed of God's Word. We're literally eating it up in the spiritual realm together, encouraging each other, strengthening each other, giving God all the glory so we can discover our new you in Christ. And, but you know, in order to really do that, I want to encourage you, whoever that's listening to me, whatever you do, when you approach the Word of God, remember 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, because it really correlates with John 3:16 and 17. See, that's easy to remember, because the Word of God is just not words on the page. They are inspired. The scriptures say in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all scripture is inspired by God. And that word inspired means God breathed. God speaks. God, inspired by God. Coming from our Creator, God speaking to us when we open up the Word of God. And it's God breathing. It does in the scriptures, it says in 2 Timothy 3, it is there too for doctrine, for sound biblical doctrine. It's there for reproof, so you can prove that doctrine that you believe, of who you are in Christ and what He's done for you and anything else that God wants to speak to you and through you. And for corrections, because we are going to be corrected, because we still live in these sinful, tainted bodies. But our new nature is brand new, but we're still going to stumble. It won't be our pattern of living, but we will fall. So there's got to be correction for instruction in righteousness. And that righteousness is Jesus Christ. I'm a real bottom line person. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus Christ is the theme of the book. And if you wanted to look at Genesis all the way to Malachi, that would be kind of like, he would be like the picture. He'd be the symbol or the types, because he was the symbol and the types from Genesis to Malachi. But in Matthew to Revelation, he became the reality. So it's kind of like you have a picture, a shadow, you kind of have a type, metaphors, and we're going to learn about the parables of Jesus Christ. Because He's the only way to God, okay? He's the only one that was suitable and acceptable by God, which was by God, in God, that reconciled us back to God. That's just beautiful. It's that beautiful Trinity. But in the New Testament, it's a brand new covenant. Oh, my goodness. He has brought Jews and Gentiles. Anybody can come into this kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. So He's our reality right now. We're living in that dispensation right now, the new covenant. And it's just beautiful. But what I was going to say is the only way you can see that and grab a hold of that, you have to approach the Word of God and ask God to open up your eyes. And I'm not talking about your physical eyes. I'm talking about your spiritual eyes of faith and belief that what you're reading in the Scripture about your relationship with God right now through Christ is absolutely true, no matter what it looks like in the natural realm. And my book, Do You See What I See? That's what I talk about with these four P's, that your position has changed. The power of the Holy Spirit resides in you. Your body and brain is actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And then you'll perform from your victorious position through your giftings in that second P. And then you'll be in His presence. His awareness will just consume you. You'll be meditating and chewing on Him all day long. I don't mean necessarily sitting there reading the Bible all day long, because everybody has a life that they have to take care of their kids and their family and go to work and know, different things, but he'll be conscious. You'll be conscious of him. You won't just separate him and compartmentalize him for Sunday and then maybe a Wednesday Bible study, and during the week, you just act like the flesh, that he doesn't exist until it's time to. See, that's religion. I'm talking about a relationship. See, Jesus Christ exchanged our life. As Tony Evans says, it was like an identity theft, really, according to Galatians 2:20 and 21. But Tony Evans says it was a legitimate identity theft. He took our old nature, sinful nature, and crushed it and crucified it. That's Romans 6:6. And then he gave us his new nature. Hallelujah. And that's 2 Peter and 1 Peter. And I wear a seed around my neck, an incorruptible seed, a perfect seed that lives on the inside of me. And that's what we're going to talk about in these series that I'm going to do. We're going to focus a lot on the seed and why Jesus uses the seed so many times in his parables to illustrate a spiritual truth. So, but you have to, even as good as that gets, he says, those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, you'll get it. Those that don't, you won't get it. And that's one reason why he spoke in parables. So you have to believe this. But you need to ask the Holy Spirit when you approach the scriptures to open up your spiritual eyes so you can understand and believe and receive. Because he's the one that illuminates these spiritual truths. We can't get it in our own human, self-righteous peanut brain. We can't get it that way. We have to receive it through the Holy Spirit into our spirit. And he does the miracle through that seed and opens up our eyes to believe. Now, one good prayer that we pray in our classes here, and you're more than welcome to come, is for women only, but contact me first. But we pray Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1. We have it memorized now. And we have, actually, we have all his prayers memorized in Ephesians. We're working on them. They got it memorized. Then we'll be going to Romans 6, 7, and 8. But right now in Ephesians chapter 1, but if you read the whole chapter, but if you just stop at 14 or start at 14 and go to the end, that's a prayer that Paul is praying that our spiritual eyes would be opened up so we could see. And so if you're having a problem understanding the word, or you're just really not into it, or you want to be in it, and you just have this constant struggle where you're not consistent and you're not getting revelation, this is a good prayer to pray. If you really mean it, this is a good prayer to pray that your eyes would be opened up. So let me just read the verse I want to focus on. It's Ephesians 1:18. It says, the eyes of your understanding. See? The eyes of your understanding. So eyes and understanding are kind of synonymous. When you look at Proverbs 4:7, it says, the author says, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, wisdom is the chief thing. So therefore, get wisdom. But then he says, but in everything, get understanding. Because wisdom is how to live your life out. Understanding is why you're living it out. It's your motive because of who you are. So you need to make sure that what you're doing and performing is not a performance-based activity or behavior, but you're moving in the Christian community and growing in Christ because of you understand your position in Christ. So Paul says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. God's calling. Nobody else's. God's calling. Everybody else is secondary. What are the riches? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Isn't that beautiful? I love that. So that the whole prayer is awesome. But I would encourage you, again, if you're, because even in the parables as we go through that, you're going to see that Jesus is saying that everybody's going to get it. Only those that believe. Only those that can see beyond the stories that he's going to tell. Because what a parable is, it's an earthly story. An earthly, tangible, natural, 5 cents illustration, a story. But in that story, it has spiritual principles, spiritual truths, spiritual power that will illuminate and open up the hearer's ears and the eyes of to see what the meaning of the natural story is. Does that make sense? Because that's what it, and the reason he does that, because we're not just all physical. were spirit, soul, and body. And I, in my book, pages 135, if you have my book, you could turn to that. If you have it, if not, go ahead and get it. But on page 135, I have two charts, one with my head and one with the 4P charts. And it shows how we're spirit, soul, and that's our intellect, our emotions, and our choices. And then we have a brain in our body, and that's the physical part. So our spirit, soul, and body, our spirit and our soul are invisible, but our brain and body, they are visible. So Jesus knows that because he created us, right? So he's telling us that your spiritual eyes, not your physical eyes, your spiritual eyes need to be opened up to this. But we can't do it. See, we can't do it. Jeremiah, because it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Jeremiah 23 says, it's like an Ethiopian trying to change the color of his skin or a leopard trying to change his spot. It's impossible. He says, it's like trying to get good out of bad. It's impossible. It's trying to get sweet water out of a salty spring. You know, you can't do that. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. That's how he says you'll know them, by their fruits. So you need to know the word of God to be able to compare people's fruits and your very own. So this is a heart thing. This is something only God and Jesus can do. He gives us a new heart, and he crucifies our old wicked heart, because Jeremiah 17:9 said that our heart is desperately wicked because it's tainted with sin. It was tainted with sin. Romans 5:12, because we are offsprings of Adam. That's how we became sinners. It isn't a thing that we did. We just inherited from Satan. I mean, from Adam. But then Adam believed the lie of Satan, and Eve believed the lie of Satan. And I've talked about that in a lot of my episodes, so I'm not going to go into that. But that's how we inherited. But we're not victims. Hallelujah. We're not victims to our biology. We're not victims to our past. We're not victims of nothing. If you're a born-again believer, you are a victor, because Jesus Christ lives in you. And I don't think Jesus Christ is a victor of anybody, because he defeated death. Hallelujah. He destroyed Satan. He broke the power of sin. And he sits at the right hand right now next to God in his high place. He emptied himself for a second, Philippians 2. You know, he emptied his glory. He emptied himself to come down here, because it had to be a man. It had to be a man to go to the cross, because it was a man's sin issue. But he who knew no sin and didn't commit sin became sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20. So, brothers and sisters, I just wanted to say that with you. As we get into these episodes, I want you, I'm going to probably come back to this prayer and just this verse particularly, so that you can understand wherever you go and worship God, wherever you have your devotion, your quiet time. I call it the branch time. I tell my baby girl, sit on your branch. That's at Isaiah 40:31. That we're like eagles, right? And we got to soar like eagles, but we need to rest on that branch. We need to do a Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, he says, that I will be exalted among the nations and the earth, and then I will be your refuge. Isn't that neat? But we got to be still. We got to slow our thinking down, so we can catch those rogue thoughts and toxic thoughts and bring them to Christ. But if we're just busy, busy, busy doing religion, we're not going to catch it. And that's a trick of the devil. And we're going to see that as we go through the parable of the sower sowing the seeds. But I just wanted to set the stage a little bit. And I think the most important stage to set as we approach the Word of God is depend on the Holy Spirit. When you open up that Bible, just stop and have a prayer. Talk to God, however you talk to him, and ask him by his Spirit to illuminate. Grab that 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And it goes right with John 3:16-17. He wants your eyes open because he loves you so much. He wants you to see what he has done for you. He didn't come into the world to condemn you, to put you down, to beat you over the head with a baseball bat every time you think you do wrong or if you do wrong. He came because he loves you, an unconditional love. So you need to receive that by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's our second P. But first, you got to recognize who you really are in Christ. And the way you're going to do that is by the Lord opening up your eyes to see that. And that's what my book is all about. That's what my life is all about. That's what my message is all about. Since I discovered who I really am in Christ and I got a handle on it now, I'm grabbing it, I'm guarding it, I'm protecting it, I'm teaching it, and I'm living it. It's totally opposite. It's mutually exclusive to religion. It really is. That's Romans 11:6. It's like grace and the law do not mix. And when I say law, I'm talking about the wrong attitude about the law, legalism. I probably should say grace and legalism, because God's law is him. And it's holy, righteous, and good, Romans 7. That's what Paul says, verse 12. But legalism and religion and grace are mutually exclusive. They do not mix. It's like trying to mix water and oil together. You just can't mix it. So in order to see that and understand that, so you can experience your freedom that Christ came to set you free to be who you're supposed to be. And by the way, our seminar coming up in April next year, we have a title. It's titled See You, Be You, based off of Romans 6:4 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. Isn't that beautiful? It's a woman's seminar. I'm excited about it. And you'll be hearing more as we go, as God unpacks his will and his way and shows us what we need to do. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to set the stage like that. I just want to just bless his name. You know, he's a good God. He loves us. And he wants us to understand him. He wants us to see him and know him with our spiritual eyes using his word, because his word is life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is full of grace and mercy, and he is the one that delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light, Colossians 1. You know, the scriptures say in Psalms 51:5 that we are born in sin, you know, born sinners, ready to go to hell, walking down that path of damnation. But then Jesus stepped in the midst of the path, stepped right in front of where you were walking and said, I love you. Receive me. Just like Paul, the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus. And he says, receive me and turn around. Repent and go the right way. And that's what repent means. It means to have a change of attitude. Remember when I did the Beatitudes? We talked about that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And that series, you can go online and scroll there in the archives of the Gift of Life. And you can find that if you need a little bit of an attitude check. Those are great chapters to listen to and allow the teachings of Jesus to change the way you think. And so that's it, brothers and sisters. I just wanted to, this is kind of like an introduction to the parables. And I'll go ahead and next time I'll go ahead and talk about, I think there's like, I counted 41 parables that Jesus told in the synopsis gospels. And that just means Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they're similar. That's what that means. It's kind of like they all kind of come from the same point of view. There's none in John, because John is like focusing on that, hey, this is Jesus Christ. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King, and he's the great I am. He's my King, and he's my great I am. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we're going to be going back and forth with those three, because they're very, very powerful. And Jesus wants us to understand these parables. Let me start off with this verse. Let's go to Mark. If you have your Bibles, go to Mark. Remember, they're in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But go to Mark 4. And look at verse 11. Look at this. I love this verse. Oh, my gosh. Let me just emphasize this one a little bit. Mark 4. He said right here. Where is it at? Mark 4. There it is. Mark 4:13. Now, remember, I told you a parable is an earthly story that Jesus is telling that you can relate to. And in his day, agriculture and farming was a big deal. okay? And so he used a lot of farming illustrations and stories to get across the meaning and the comparison to the spiritual reality of who he was to the people he was talking to, which was he was the long-awaited Messiah. And that's why he did a lot of supernatural miracles, because only in the spiritual realm could Jesus do miracles. I mean, you know, that's where the miracles come from, because he is God, to show them in the physical realm. So a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that just means we are created in the image of God, and he sent his son to reconnect us back to that image and destroy sin's power. And now we can relate to him. We can understand the meaning of our existence, understand why he loves us so much, so that we can help others. Well, this is why he tells these stories, parables, but not everybody gets it, because not everybody believes. See, it's a matter of believing or doubting. And if you read Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer talks about the Israelites that didn't believe and wandered for 40 years around the same old mountain, all because they disbelieved. That's in Deuteronomy. Disbelieved. They had a hard heart. And we're going to learn about that wayside soil and that hard soil and the hardness of a heart. They just refused to believe because they wanted to stay connected to their five sense realm, their self-righteous self, and the prestige and the money and all the fame and the fortune that they thought that they had. They wanted to hold on to that. But Jesus was cut through all that stuff. He said, that's not my God that you're representing. That's not what my God's word says in the scriptures. So he says, you heard it said this, that, and other people, but I'm here to set it straight. This is what the Lord means. So he had to pierce through the hardness of these people's hearts. But even when he pierced them, they still had the power to choose life or death. And unfortunately, too many today and then chose death. Oh, it's just a sad situation. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to read this one verse. I love this. He says in verses Mark 4:14, he says, and this is Jesus, and he said to them, do you not understand? Or you could say, do you not see this parable? Which parable is he talking about? The sower and the seeds. Okay. How then will you understand all the parables? Basically, Jesus is saying this. Look, don't you understand? No, I'm sorry. He's not saying that. He's saying this. Excuse me. He's saying, listen, if you don't understand the parable of the sower and the seeds, then all these other 40 to 41 parables that I'm going to tell in the gospel, you're not going to get them. So he's saying basically this parable of the sower and the seed is the key parable to help you understand all the other parables. And not just the parables, but I believe the scriptures. So bottom line, what Jesus is saying, let's focus on understanding this parable of the sower and the seed. And we're going to see when we read on a little bit more in these other verses, like I think it's Luke right here, we're going to see that the seed that he's talking about in all these is the word of God. If you look in Luke 8:11, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So he's using the seed, natural seed, physical seed, like the seed I got around my neck. It's a corruptible seed. But he's showing me and pointing to the meaning of the scripture about the seed to the incorruptible seed. And that's 1 Peter 1:23, that lives and abides forever. That's me in the seed. Basically, brothers and sisters, you have a miracle inside you. And just like an ordinary natural seed that you plant that tomato seed in the garden, you're going to get a harvest when you sow that seed in the dirt. Well, when you sow the word of God into the soil of your mind and meditate on it, memorize it, and mouth it, then the natural, supernatural juices and properties of that seed begins to germinate through you, and you're going to see the harvest of that seed. That's why I'm heavy on the word of God. Really. Because as spiritual beings, Jesus said in Matthew 4, we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, when God said, let there be light, he spoke and the pictures of light shine. Then he created the universe, and then he created matter, and then he created the heavens and the earth. And I mean, he just painted this beautiful landscape of eternity, and then he created us. He breathed into us the breath of life. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm excited. So, I got to get ready to go. I'm going to play a song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And you know what? Pray. The next time you read your Bible, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes. And remember, Ephesians 1:18 is a prayer for you. God bless you.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Ooh, blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Here we go.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Pain in the offering. Blessed be.